This evening's theme, the life of Jesus, is a daunting theme if you're trying to in any way actually cover the various events, occasions, works, teachings of our Lord. It's not possible to do that, and of course that effort was not made this evening. Simply to introduce to us four specific things that are of extreme importance. The birth, life, crucifixion, and resurrection from the dead. And there is significance in those particular aspects of the life of Christ. The reason why we bring those up and talk about them is because they constitute what we call the gospel of Jesus Christ, or at least the rudiments of that gospel. For example, as Matthew records the birth of Jesus. It is a virgin birth. We recognize that it was in Bethlehem, and individuals have made a big observance of his birth using the Christmas holidays and the manger scenes and the reenactments of that birth and many different religious organizations and events like that. But the significance of it, of course, is related in Matthew 1 and verse 23, where we are told that he is Emmanuel. When the promise was made that you would bear a son, you shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated is God with us. The significance is, as John chapter 1 tells us, that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. But in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And so Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth, God with us. That, of course, was because God desired the redemption of mankind. And it was necessary for man to be redeemed that Christ come to this earth, that he be that mediator, that go-between to reconcile God to man. But it could not be any individual that accomplished that. And in fact, it would not be possible for Christ, as the Son of God in coming to this earth, to be that perfect mediator for us if it were not for certain things that happened to him in his life. The second part of our reading from Matthew, the third chapter, was at his baptism, where he began his ministry. You'll remember that John mentioned at that time that it would be better for him to be baptized by Jesus rather than Jesus be baptized by him. But Jesus asked him to do so that all righteousness might be fulfilled. And in fact, Jesus did that. He kept the law perfectly. There was not a command that was made under that old covenant that was not kept fully and wholly, perfectly. He was without spot and without blemish. Every prophecy that was prophesied concerning the anointed of God was fulfilled in the life of Jesus. And in that he accomplished the will, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 tells us that we have been redeemed by his precious blood as of a lamb without blemish, and without spot. And so as we acknowledge his life and we think about all that has occurred, and in fact there are many individuals today that really they enjoy the biographies about Jesus, they enjoy the movies that are out about Jesus. In fact, there's another one, a television movie that's just about to begin. Bill O'Reilly wrote a book and they've made it into a movie, The Killing of Jesus, and he has his own spin as to what it led. And what led to it, and I thought that it was kind of an interesting thing that in this particular manifestation, as a Hollywood manifestation of who Jesus is, there is very little, if anything, that is said about his miracles, about the works that he did, and about his religious message. It was more about politics. You can imagine with O'Reilly that would be the case, and the power struggle which led to Jesus' death. But there is a significance to us in his perfect life. The fact that he did come, that is beyond mere historical curiosity. If Jesus had not come and lived that perfect life on the cross, then we would not have hope. And of course, the third thing that we talked about is the crucifixion of our Lord. And there was a reading concerning the events of that crucifixion. He died, but there were many others who died. And I would hasten to say, most probably, that there were others who died deaths on the cross, and they were not guilty of the crime that they were accused of. I can imagine that that would be the case. But Jesus is set apart from all others in that he was God the Son, come to earth, who lived a perfect life and was not guilty of any sin, any transgression of the law whatsoever. And yet, because he was the king of the Jews and rejected by them, he hung upon a tree. And when he died on the cross at Calvary, because of his blood shed, we can have our sins remitted or taken away. And so we rejoice in his death on the cross, again realizing the significance that it holds to us. If Jesus had not died, if he had refused or resisted that burden that God placed upon him, then we would be without hope in the world. You remember it was a difficult thing for him in the garden shortly before his betrayal. He prayed to God, "If this cup may pass, let it pass from me, if it be possible." But nevertheless, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He recognized it was God's will that he come, that he live that life of perfection and die on that cruel cross at Calvary. And it is through his shed blood that our sins are taken away. And then finally, the resurrection of our Lord, that great and glorious morning when the stone was rolled away and Jesus was raised from the dead. There is significance in his resurrection. In fact, you'll remember in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul indicated that it is only in his resurrection that we have hope. In verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, he said that Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits. That means the forebear, the one who went on before, and we will follow after him, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And so each of these things are significant. In Romans, the first chapter in verse 16, the gospel is declared as the power of God to salvation. But it's not in the mere proclamation of a story. It is because these things actually happened. God did send his Son to this earth. The Son was willing to come. He lived successfully upon this earth, resisting every temptation, though he was tempted in all points like as we are. His sinless perfection ended in a sacrificial death on the cross for our sins. It is because of his shed blood and his resurrection from the dead that all who believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so if you are here this evening, you had that opportunity to respond to the invitation call to the salvation of your souls. I'm reminded in John, the 20th chapter, John chapter 20, and verses 30 and 31, basically some concluding thoughts that the apostle had concerning his gospel. He talked about other things that Jesus did, signs, in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe, and that believing you may have life in his name. If we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we can have life. Because those events are true. They really happened. And so it's not mere historical curiosity, but rather it is significant. Those events changed the world. They changed the eternal destiny of each and every man. You'll remember that those who went on before, as the Hebrew writer stated in Hebrews chapter 11, they all lived and died before the hope is realized, not having received that hope separate and apart from us. It is in those last days that God sent his Son that the redemption of man was secured. The shed blood of Jesus secured our hope of eternal life. I hope and pray if there is anyone who is here this evening who needs to respond to that invitation call, that you'll take advantage of the opportunity. You've heard the gospel in microcosm. If there are any things, any aspects of that that you need more study, you need more teaching, then let us know. We'll talk with you. We'll stay with you as long as is necessary so that you can have that faith which can lead to the salvation of your souls. If you know enough and you need to respond to the invitation call this evening, we extend it to you. If we can help you or if there is any other who needs to answer that invitation call, we ask that you come. While together we stand, while we sing.